Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. We are having a great show set for tonight. And it's going to be a great one. We've got a special guest joining us this evening. We have college football, a lot of college football to talk about over the weekend, the first full week in college football. Purdue, the Hoosiers and Ball State, Notre Dame, the hits and misses from the week in college football. We've got a special interview with the Arsenal Tech boys basketball coach Mosey Barnes this evening. That'll be joining us. Also, we go into the NFL. This is the week. The NFL finally starts back up. So definitely looking forward to the NFL starting back up. And then we're going to hit some quick hitters tonight. But yeah, packed show today. I'm joined Brandon Reif once again, joined by Jonathan Burson, JB. How was your weekend?
Man, with the, you know, yeah, well, hi, Brandon. Sorry. Hi, Crossroads family, man. The weekend, how could I not say it was anything more than one relaxing, because yesterday was Labor Day, but also, you know what I'm saying, which I know we'll touch, we're going a little bit more in depth about. We actually got to go on our first, our first little on location game, IU versus Ball State. So, man, my weekend was actually rather excellent. Very exciting. I got a lot of details to share with our listening audience. And like I said, man, I'm just ready to get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go ahead and start the college football. I'm sure we'll talk a lot of college football, and then we'll have our interview. We may go back to college football. So if you are on the line, which I see we have a few different people, go ahead and just hold on for a little bit. We got a lot to hit in this evening. We got a nice two-hour show. So if you can listen in now, catch it later, whatever, but it will be available as well on the iTunes, on the podcast page. College football, John. Let's dive right into it. Friday night, the Purdue Boilermakers started their season at Nevada, which is a weird game for the Boilermakers in the Big Ten, travel all the way out to the Mountain West for a Friday night game. Purdue started out well. Very good by Rondale Moore with the catch and receiving touchdown. David Bell, the freshman, touchdown. And then it looked like Purdue just could not hang on. Nevada started coming back, and they started a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here. And then next thing you know, Nevada's got a chance to win. They kick a 50-some-yard field goal from a player, a freshman that's never kicked it, and they win the game. They beat the Boilermakers. I watched the final half of the game. I don't know if you saw any of it, but what was your thoughts on the Boilermakers?
My thoughts is
be nice to them, because we're going up there in a couple weeks.
I'm being nice, man. You have to put teams away even if you think you're, which I don't think that there was too much of a talent gap between them and them in the bottom, but they are, Purdue is actually the superior team in talent regard and preparedness and what they were turning as far as what they came back from last year. But In all facets of sports, especially in football, you have to play you have to play both halves. You can't relax. You can't take your foot off the pedal, and that's kind of what happened in the Purdue game. That's my assessment.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. The Boilermakers definitely, you know, Sindelar, and he had this problem back when he was battling the position with David Blau last year, was that he made stupid errors and inconsistent decisions that just – it hurt the team, and he did it once again. And I know Jeff Brohm says, you know, we'll get the rule right to ship, and he's really hurting after this one. But, I mean, I guess you can blame it on rust. It's the first game of the year and all, but you can't – you have to do whatever you can. If you got the ball with the final possession, to make sure at least, hey, if you're not going to win it, then this dang thing's going to go to overtime. I'm not going to give this guy this other team a shot.
Yeah, it kind of comes down to, like you said, game managing and whatnot. I think the Boilers got a tough task in front of them on the 14th in TCU. I don't know. Do they have a game this weekend? Or
they have a home opener this Saturday against SEC Vanderbilt.
Okay. Well, again,
should be a good game.
Should be a good game because you can't take Vanderbilt lightly in any way. I was talking with some other folks in the press box, right, where they consider the running back from Vanderbilt to be the best in the SEC. I would kind of question that, because we have to remember there is a running back in Taylor, last name Taylor, plays for Bama, I do believe.
Yeah.
I couldn't be messing that up. But yeah, there's a lot of talent on Alabama. Before we say he'll probably be the best running back. The Vanderbilt running back will probably be the best running back that the Bullish face this week. So I would assume that the coaching staff would be scheming against that particular individual and trying to contain him. But yeah, they do have a somewhat of a tough task in front of them as well. But I know we haven't gone to pick them just yet. But I think the Bullets kind of bounce back. I think they kind of learn from the, like they said, because like you said, the coach kind of said you need to clean up and fix some certain things. And like a lot of times, you know, there is no preseason in the NFL. I'm sorry, in the NCAA, they kind of they play who they play, like week one, week, you know what I'm saying, and going further. So
right,
I think they bounce back. I think again, it's still a quality opponent. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of what people might think about the SEC, and we'll get into that a little bit later as well. But it's a quality opponent. And like I said, if they can contain the Vanderbilt running back, they should come out on top. Close game, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we go to the Ball State IU game and everything that kind of came with it, with the press box and stuff, I want to kind of go – I've got some hot takes from the week in college football. Couple things I've got. Number one, I'm starting off hot. Florida State is trash. That's the first thing I have on my list. Florida State, who can't even fill a stadium, this high-powered, used to be Bobby Bowden, you know, prestigious Florida State, Charlie Ward, Heisman Trophy winner. Florida State was up 31-16 at halftime on Boise State, little old Boise. And they didn't even score in the second half, and they got beat. This coach has lost, I believe, if I remember, I think he's lost nine games straight now. I guess, God, it's time to go. I mean, if you can't get the boys at Florida State up, there's a problem.
Well,
Brandon, Florida State's trash.
Let's not say Boise State's some chumps.
They're not, but. This is Florida State we're talking.
I think this is one of those – you're right, but I think this actually might be one of those dream seasons, dream scenario type seasons for Boise, where they kind of go undefeated, or maybe they lose one game and then they're kind of flirting around with one of the major bowls or whatnot. I don't want to take anything away. I'm kind of with you. I don't want to put them in the trash just yet, Florida State. I don't. Cause I still think
I'm throwing them in the trash.
I think they'll gut out some victories in ACC play, but they are not a program, where, you know, you mentioned Bobby Bowden, Jumbo Fisher, you know what I'm saying? They're not a team that we are talking about, you know what I'm saying, in contention. You know what I'm saying? We haven't mentioned
they've
Florida
lost
State Bama
six
since.
Of their last
we
eight games.
We haven't mentioned Florida State in national championship conversation since Jameis left. Have we?
No.
And Jameis has been, you know, we everybody's sports show talks about Jameis and the Buccaneers and his, you know, in and out of the lineup. But then how long has that been? So again, Florida State is you know, top program that at one point that lacked the last championship they won was in 2013, I think. Fact checking somebody, but this is not what they're accustomed to. They're accustomed to be in conversation, and they're not right now.
They're still trash. Put them in the trash.
Recruiting. I don't know if that goes into recruiting. I don't know if that goes into now maybe the talent pool that is Florida, and we know it's a hotbed, is getting spread out amongst UCF because now they're somewhat of a high visible program. I'm not saying that they're stealing any guys away from Florida State, but I'm thinking maybe I don't know. We have to figure it out. It's not that the coach can't coach. Did he come across the continental United States to come from Oregon? I do believe that's where he started at, or Oregon State, one or the other. Fact check me, Brandon. Real
I think
quick.
It's Oregon.
But yeah, so he I mean, is it that? Does he not have the strong ties to get the guys? You know, what I'm saying the guys that are potentially going to Florida or to some other SEC school to come to Florida State.
Willie Taggart, trash.
Yes. Oh man.
Well, you don't need to spend time on him, okay? You don't need to spend time on him.
Well, I had a little bit because I didn't want you to just totally dismiss, you know, saying the kid from Boise, the quarterback, Hank Brackmeyer. This dude's, you know, he ain't in the top five Heisman conversations, but he's definitely in the top 10 after this week. He had 407 yards.
Whoa, easy, John. Listen. We ain't going to put, based off of one performance, for everybody thinking they're now the greatest since sliced bread.
Murph Turk.
It's
Murph
1 week.
Back, bro. It's one week.
But anyway, Florida State trash last year. They're still trash. Right. They're in the trash bin this week. So we're going to keep a Crossroads trash bin. Guess what? First team in there, or even players.
Florida State
trash.
Man.
Number two.
You harsh. You got another trash can?
Hugh Freeze. I'm throwing you in the trash. I am so sick of Hugh Freeze. This guy with drama queen trying to get all the attention to himself. He's coaching the game in his hospital gown in the press box in a hospital bed. At least put a polo on or something. You don't need to be wearing no hospital gown. You're trying to get them to get this. If they would have beat Syracuse, I bet your ass he would have came all the way down the field and said, they won because of me up here in the press box. He would have been walking. Right. God, it's a miracle. Hugh Freeze, trash. Number two.
Brandon, these coaches got to pull out all stops to get guys to come to their program. He pull out all stops.
Yeah, and he also did that at his last job, I think, and he said it made him closer to God, which I won't go into that anymore. But
oh my goodness! All right, man, you got another trash can?
I've got three more trashes.
Oh man, come on!
Another one, Scott Frost. You're a fraud. I used to like Scott Frost. He is a fraud now. Trash.
What happened,
John?
They won their game.
They did win their game, but I'm about ethics. I'm about morals, right? Nebraska was losing at halftime.
You're talking about sports ethics and sports morals, correct?
Both.
Okay, all right.
So Scott Frost they were losing their game at halftime. I don't even remember the team they were playing. We were making fun of them. I forget who it was. They were losing.
They have
their starting running back, their star running back, who is currently suspended, wasn't supposed to play. And he's currently in a lawsuit for child pornography cases. That is pretty serious charges against him that he's still waiting to go to trial for. Scott Frost said, well, you know what? We're losing. This is our star running back. Scott Frost played him in the second half. Okay. Nebraska won the game. Scott Frost, you're trash. Stand by your decision.
Oh,
if you're going to sit the kid out for child pornography, which is a very serious case. Child pornography? Come on. He shouldn't even be playing. You're going to tell me this. The NCAA and Scott Frost are going to allow this kid to play college football.
This won't be a conversation like the one we're having. This is kind of one of the reasons why I can kind of lean with what you're saying, why he shouldn't be playing.
But the kid that tried to transfer back up to his home in Virginia Tech because his mom is recovering from a brain tumor and he tried to do a medical hardship to transfer – and the NCAA says, no, you live 10 miles outside the boundary. Speaking of ethics, I think the NCAA needs to look themselves in the mirror. Sorry. I go to some NCAA events.
Oh, man.
But I'm fired up about this. Scott Frost, trash.
We ain't getting invited over for cake.
We're not getting invited to cake. Next one.
Go ahead, bud.
Scott Frost. My next trash is Tennessee Volunteers. Trash. How do you come out? Now, this is for the whole fan base. You sit there. Greg Schiano wouldn't have lost that game. You were so big about getting him out of that program as soon as they wanted him. We need this guy. Well, guess what? This guy just lost to Georgia State.
That dude's off the Nick Saban table. He's in the food chain. He's had stops at Georgia. He's had stops at Alabama. He's done the tour.
But John, it doesn't always mean it works out. Look at your Georgia boy right now. You're calling for his head.
Well, just because you studied underneath the great sensei that is Nick Saban doesn't mean you got Nick Saban in you. You know what I'm saying? You know, Nick Saban, you know, I don't want to go on gushy feelings about Alabama, but Nick Saban knows how to coach, an in-game coach, and how to react. You know what I mean? And it's kind of, you know, saying what it kind of boiled down for him is, like, does he have enough talent level, and does the talent level want to buy into what Nick Saban's saying? But those guys get the same talent. They just don't have the same Nick Saban-esque, you know, game management about them. You know,
that was embarrassing. That was an embarrassing game.
Tennessee losing. What? It was embarrassing for Tennessee. Georgia State loved it.
It wasn't just a beating. It was a rout.
$950,000 they got. The school got to help build with the program, wink, wink. And that coach comes out with a victory over a Power 5 conference who used to be historically, we used to revere. Tennessee is falling by the wayside. They've fallen further than Florida State. They have.
Yeah, so they're trash. They're in the trash can.
Wow. All right.
They can get out of the trash. They just have to step back up. They were this week's trash can. Week one, somebody's got to go to the trash. So it's these teams.
Okay, I got you.
Now I've got some people we're going to put on the pedestal. I've got some we're going to put on the pedestal now that had very good weeks.
Okay.
This is a new segment for me. Trash, pedestal. This week in the pedestal, I got three people. Jalen Hurts, you are on the pedestal, my guy. You've worked yourself up into the Heisman conversation. You're in a system. You're going to flourish in Oklahoma. John, I'm not just saying that because of they're playing Houston, but the kid won a national title when he was in Alabama. This is no slouch.
Right.
Very good performance by Tua with Oklahoma. Your thoughts?
Man, you know, I think for a second there, I thought they was overselling it. And then I kind of went back and looked at the tape, man. I don't think they're overselling it. You say Heisman, man. My guy might even be in the first round now. You know what I'm saying? Where a couple years ago, they had him pegged as a football player trying to figure out if he's going to convert to tight end or wide out or something crazy because he's crazy athletic. But now, you know, I'm not saying 10-year bet, but, you know, now dual quarterbacks got somewhat of a shelf life in the NFL. So I think, you know, as you say, we can see now that he can flourish. With Oklahoma going further, though, you know me, Brandon, they gotta figure out some things in the Big 12 in their defense if they want to be considered, you know, national championship caliber contenders. But he's going to put up some big numbers, and he's definitely in the top five, if not top two, conversation of who's going to win the Heisman this year.
Uh-huh, absolutely. Second pedestal guy, Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State. Now, this dude
– Look, I can't wait. Go ahead, Brandon.
This guy,
if he could come out now, whoo, man.
We were talking during the game.
Yeah. Hey, man. Not only he's probably going to be Big Ten Player of the Year, he's definitely going to be in top five conversation of Heisman. He just is.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's that. I don't know, hey, people, he's that darn good. Dual quarterback.
Michigan,
look
out.
Can throw. Yeah, that's going to be a brutal game. Brutal.
I hope he can play in the cold. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting, that game. But, yeah, Fields, I mean, the kid can run. He can throw. And, it was Florida Atlantic. Kiffin's team doesn't really play defense. But, boy, if there's an audition you put out in your first game on a transfer, this is the one to do it. And he definitely did there. My final pedestal, Mac Brown, the North Carolina coach. Very emotional. Very emotional, proud of his kids. They had no business beating South Carolina in that game.
No, they didn't. No. South Carolina, the Gamecock people I know were hot, man. Gamecock hot. They were pissed. They were pissed.
So, Mac, it's good to see him. He got emotional. Then he got in the locker room, did his little dance that old men do, old white men do,
hey,
a little dance. I'm proud and happy for him.
Awesome.
Glad to have him back.
That's gonna pay that kind of bond that he has with that team and him back with coaching, is automatically number one feel good story out the gate, man. And like if you can go online either at, I think I tweeted it out, you can see Mac Brown kind of in the haze. He's got the team. It'll pay dividends down the line. When North Carolina plays teams, you watch, Brandon, when North Carolina plays teams, they kind of like overmatched, you know what I'm saying? They'll kind of lean on that emotional push that Mack Brown has with this team. It'll play. Now, I ain't saying they're gonna beat Alabama or nothing like that, but they're like a team that they have really no business competing against. This is gonna pay dividends for them. I'm kind of excited to see what comes out of North Carolina this year. Football, can you believe it?
UNC, go Heels. So that's my three on the pedestals, and I had three for the trash. Any arguments for those three that I had in the trash?
No, I do. I think I kind of co-signed Tennessee and Florida State for you.
You're just not on board on the Nebraska.
No, I'm not. Nebraska going to win the Big Ten with that team?
Whoa.
Nebraska finished third? Maybe.
Let's talk a little under Alabama. Alabama had a tough first half. They had some issues with Duke. It was a close game. And then Alabama does what Alabama does. Duke started falling apart. They start getting tired, and Alabama just kept substituting beast for beast and pulled away. So, roll tide. Little rough in the first quarter, but.
Yeah, like a cat playing with a mouse, man. Stop. Yeah.
Notre Dame.
How about Bama's Duke? Thank you.
What about Notre Dame last night?
You know, Notre Dame kind of gave some people like some first half worries. Like, the team was actually keeping up with Notre Dame. People were kind of concerned. And, like, usually we get a fiery sideline Kelly, and we didn't have that this week, yesterday. We didn't have that at all. You know, Kelly, you know, didn't bust a gut, didn't bust, you know, a vein in his head or anything, you know, or cuss anybody out, which is kind of frowned upon in South Bend. And they, you know, Notre Dame reacted, and they – I don't think they scored a point. I don't think the opponent scored but 3 points after, and, you know, it was crushed. So, Brandon, why do Golden Domer – why do they panic so much? Why do they panic?
That's just what they do.
Here's the thing. No, the Brandon, here, man, I want to like, really – I don't know, man. I want to, like, really understand what the expectations of Notre Dame fans for their team is every year after year. I want to know.
12 wins.
Knowing we know where the pools of talent are and what Notre Dame, it is what it is. They have a set standards of grades and rules and regulations that, you know, the Miami's of the world and Florida State's of the world, so on and so forth, and even Alabama's of the world, they don't necessarily have. So, again, I don't get it, man. I want a Notre Dame person to call and help them explain it to me. They have a very great and historical program, but if you're talking about putting the Notre Dame team out there against Clemson or against Georgia or against Alabama, they're going to come up short.
Yeah.
But
I think
Golden Gomers think that if they get in the game, like, they can somehow that's when talent just kind of takes over. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I need a Notre Dame person. I need a Notre Dame person to explain it to me.
Notre Dame, call in. We'll get you on before we get our interview. But, no, my thing is, Notre Dame, I was worried with them last night. I had Notre Dame minus 17.5 last night in the game.
Why?
I had a pretty good chunk of change on it.
I was never – Brandon, I didn't –
Hold on. We're talking betting. We're talking two different things. You're talking the win. I'm talking betting. 17.5 points was the spread, John. When that game finished, they won by 18. I only won by half a point. I had to sweat that out in the fourth. Like, damn, are we gonna score some points or what? And then Louisville, give it credit to Louisville. They're different this year. They're gonna be better. They were marching down the field. And here's my takeaway with the Notre Dame Irish. They struggled with a speed team like Louisville. You look back at other Notre Dame teams when they get beat in the college football playoff or whatever, they do not do well against speed teams ever. And that majority of that's the SEC. They don't do well against them. Clemson. I think they lost to Clemson when they played them. I know it was a questionable pass interference call in the end zone, but Clemson was a speed team.
So underneath your thinking, you want them to have to play a Big Ten team in a playoff game, you think they got a better chance of beating a Big Ten team than an SEC team?
That's the only way they're going to win.
Lay the gauntlet down. We need to put that up as a post on Twitter. Nah, I don't know. That might be too smart. I don't know. But we all talk about Notre Dame fans, so I give them that credit. They are smart fans. But a Notre Dame team, you think this Notre Dame team could compete in the Big Ten against Ohio State? Yeah.
Compete, yes. Win, possibly, but they're going to struggle with the speed.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Here's John, Louisville, they're not great. They're getting better from what they were last year, but they struggled against those fast wide receivers and the quarterback. When Notre Dame got blitzed by Alabama, they dealt with the same thing. When they got beat by Clemson, it was the same. It's the same thing. They can't compete against speed teams. And I don't know if it's a schedule that they're playing during the year that it's just slow and methodical. You got your armies, your navies. I mean, USC used to be a speed team. Used to be. Back when Reggie Bush and all them were on that team. But they haven't had to deal with that in years.
Right.
Boston College isn't a speed team. They don't play Purdue every year. They haven't played Purdue in a while. Michigan wasn't a speed team, those recent few, but they used to be. Michigan used to be a speed team. It's just, I think that's where Notre Dame has their issues, is that they cannot compete. Well, they can compete, but they just can't get the job done against a speed team. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to tell Brian Kelly, hey, guys, we got to stop this option. I put it out on Twitter last night. I don't know if Notre Dame knows how to stop a player that runs the option. I don't think they do. They just got a new defensive coordinator, too. They finally got rid of the old dude. They brought this young guy in, and those Golden Domers.
We're gonna be in a hot mess, man.
They're nervous.
Too much heat. Notre Dame, I'm not. You're nervous. I'm not. Notre Dame won the game.
I'm not nervous.
I expect that when Notre Dame plays the latter in their schedule, when it gets a little bit tougher, like exactly what you said. Then they'll lose that game. But other than that, man, they'll kind of cruise around to like 6-0. They will.
No way.
But I don't think
you want to know why? Because week 3 they play at Georgia. That's where they get smacked.
Yeah, that's gonna be a bad game.
Yeah, week 3 at Georgia. That's a speed team, John. Guess what's happening?
But you know what? Here's the thing, Brandon, and this is where the Golden Domers fandoms that they'll come back and be like, oh man, them guys know what they're talking about. They at least schedule. They schedule strong. You can't take that. You got to give that to them. They schedule strong.
Yeah, besides New Mexico.
Versus Alabama, come on, Brandon. Alabama playing Duke. Stop.
I know.
Stop. So the Golden Domers do – like, listen, man, I don't really get into arguments anymore. That used to be the knock. Notre Dame didn't schedule or something. Or, you know what I'm saying? No, they schedule. They schedule. Yeah, they had this crazy alignment with the ACC, the people kick them, you know what I'm saying, kick them in the nards about. But guess what? The same ACC games they win and or beat teams, it's Clemson beating the same teams. I know Clemson's a different animal, okay? But, you know what I'm saying, Clemson's an ACC team too as well. So, you know, I credit the Golden Dome for at least scheduling.
Notre Dame's got 3 ranked teams they play all season long. They play Georgia at Georgia. They play Michigan at Michigan. And they play Stanford at Stanford. 3 ranked teams, all on the road. The speed team is Georgia. USC is not speed. Michigan's a speed team. And both those games are on the road. So we're going to see what Notre Dame's about. 10-2.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful. They can schedule Kent State. They swap out one of those other games. They can schedule another Midwest school or 2 Midwest schools and run into a cupcake schedule where maybe they're one loss team flirting. They could do that. They could do that, still pulling the revenue that they could pull in because the fans is going crazy over Notre Dame anyway. But they
hold on.
They actually schedule. Go ahead. They actually schedule.
You talk about schedule. So you were making fun of Alabama, right? Because they played who? Duke?
Yeah.
Duke? Okay.
They played Duke.
November 9th, Notre Dame plays at Duke.
Is that their ACC schedule or not?
It is. Put Clemson on there. If you're an ACC, they're an ACC school.
Well,
put Miami on there.
You won't, You know,
come on,
they're gonna milk that. You know, the ACC administration is gonna milk that. That's just how the world works.
Yeah. All right, John. We've got our guest. I don't want to put him on hold any much longer. We've got we've got the head coach Arsenal Tech boys basketball, Mosey Barnes. Mosey, thanks for joining the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, no problem. We just finishing our debating on Notre Dame up here, so I'm sure we've got some fans that are upset about with that. So, so John, I'll let you kind of do the intro a little bit more, and then we'll get started.
I'll do it a little bit. Well, we brought, like I said, man. You know, we always Mosey. Thanks for coming on again, John the Bird Song. We brought Mosey on because he has a great, unique background. With the area here in Indianapolis, he's actual head coach right now of Arsenal, and he has also played a little bit at Purdue. We'll get into that as well. And he also went to school, I do believe, at high school at Cardinal Ritter. But Mosey, rather me just gloat upon you. Tell the Crossroad listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm born and raised in Indianapolis. I was born in 1978. I'm 41 years old, born on the west side of Indianapolis, attended Cardinal Ritter High School. From there, I played varsity all 4 years. I earned a scholarship to go to Purdue, and I'm just happy to be a part of the Indianapolis community.
Okay, cool. But, so you went to Purdue, but you didn't necessarily finish your college career at Purdue, correct?
No, sir, I didn't. I went to Purdue for 2 years. I played under Gene Katy for 2 years, 96-97 and 97-98 season. And from there, I transferred and where I finished up at Eastern Michigan University with my undergrad degree in sports medicine.
Okay. What was the reason for the transfer, if I can ask?
Well, I just felt like, I love West Lafayette. I love just our whole brotherhood with our basketball team there. I just felt like at the time that Purdue wasn't the place for me to continue my college career in terms of basketball. And that's where I seeked out the Eastern Michigan University, where a gentleman named Todd Licklider, which was for some time Butler's head coach, but at the time he was at Eastern Michigan. And we made a link there, and I just think that at that time Eastern Michigan was the best place for me.
What was the biggest difference for you, Mosey, playing at Purdue to then playing at Eastern Michigan? What was the biggest thing that you noticed?
Well, I say this now even like as a coach, you know, I know people put a lot into like divisions, in terms of like Division One and Division Two or whatever, or different conferences, some being bigger, some being smaller. But what I noticed immediately that basketball is just competitive wherever you go at that level. You know, I it wasn't much of a difference in terms of being competitive. So that's something I didn't have to really adjust to that because I was used to that at Purdue. But it was kind of eye-opening that the MAC conference at the time was just as competitive as any conference in the country.
Okay.
How, Mac, coach, me and Brandon are MAC guys too. We went to Ball State. So how bad did you kill Ball State?
Now you put me on the spot with that.
How bad did you kill Ball State?
I want to say that we played Ball State once because, you know, the conference is divided kind of into two, east and a west. We played Ball State once at Ball State, and Ball State gave us a good game, and they beat us. So if memory recalls.
Okay. All right, man. I think you're being modest, man, but all right, man. all right, so as everybody does know on the call, you are coaching Tech right now. You're actually in a dual role. How are you kind of adjusting with your first year on the job in a new spot? I know not necessarily your first year kind of doing this, but your first year with Tech. How are you adjusting?
Well, I've had some prior experience. I was fortunate enough to have two roles when I was coaching at Howe High School. I was the AD there and head basketball coach for 3 years.
Okay.
So that experience kind of, I would say, maybe molded me for this upcoming experience as of right now, being the athletic director and head basketball coach at Tech. I will say that I've probably been more busy than I've ever been in my life. You know, Tech has 18 varsity sports, 4 club sports, pretty much each of our varsity sports has a JV and a freshman team. So we got close to 3,000 kids at our school, and probably about 350 kids competing in our fall sports right now. So is this something that I really had to maximize my time, you know, schedule my days appropriately? Of course, I can't do things by myself. I got a great staff that helps me every day, with my assistant coaches. And also in our athletic office, we have an assistant athletic director and administrative assistant. So, of course, with anything you're doing with that much responsibility, it's good to have a really good team around you. And Mr. Corey Franklin, our principal there, he has surrounded us with a lot of support, and he knows that we work with our, you know, what he was described as heart work, you know, with working with our heart around there and just trying to regain and rebuild the culture that has already been established at Arsenal Tech.
Okay. Mosey, with the this is a question that's going to be kind of twofold. One, A, with your athletic director hat on, and B, the other one with the other hat on of being a head coach, what do you prefer your athlete, your kids, to be? Would you rather, because you see a lot of times now, kids are just focusing on one sport, with it being AAU and stuff during the summer, they're just focusing straight on basketball, or people are just focusing straight on football. Do you still want to see the kids kind of do the multiple sports, or just hone in and practice their skill on that one sport?
Well, that's a great question. You know, sports science is always evolving. You know, pretty much every decade or so, the whole science of it kind of evolves, and new concepts, so to speak, and, you know, new philosophies, et cetera. I'll just give you one example, a personal example. My son, he's a junior at University of Oklahoma. He was a multiple sport athlete in high school. He tried pretty much everything from wrestling to football, basketball, all the sports. He found his lane in track his junior year, so he kind of went from not, you know, really having a main sport to, you know, again, trying all type of different sports, and he found this niche in track. He went from overnight, nobody knowing who he was in track, to like top one or two in the nation, to almost a prospect for the 2020 Olympics. So with that personal experience with my own son, I look at sports a little differently than I did coming up. You know, all I did was focus on basketball. And I mean, I guess that worked out for me in some ways, but moving forward, when I talk to our young athletes, you know, I try to give, you know, this world is built on opportunities. So you kind of never know what you can do until you kind of give yourself, you know, the chance and try to have that self-esteem and that confidence to try something new. So I always advocate for all our sports, young ladies and young men, to try different things, not just on the courts and in the fields, but just in education and academics, just period in life.
Okay. What do you like most about coaching basketball?
I mean, I'm basketball is a big part of me. I like the you know, where you can just develop a relationship. So something as simple as a game can bring people together. So I like that aspect of it, where, you know, we can have a common ground with basketball, but just that common ground, man, we can talk about anything from there as we build a relationship together. You know, so I like the kind of the camaraderie and the opportunity to be able to grow with people and to see people that play the game, you know, evolve not only just physically, but just can evolve just as a person. You know, when you get to know somebody and just something as simple as a game, for me, it's just kind of a vehicle now. I just use it as a tool to kind of, you know, give my life, pour my life experiences into young people.
Okay, good.
Okay. Mosey, do you see yourself, I'm sorry, how would you describe your leadership style? are you a motivator or I'm trying to think. Yeah, just kind of how would you describe your leadership style?
I'm somewhat of a servant leader. You know, I want to be the hardest worker. I want to lead by example. You know, I want to model all the things that I preach on a day to day. You know, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to be as trustworthy as possible. So I try to put myself in a position to always keep my word. With that said, I think I got a real keen eye for the game. I'm very detail oriented in terms of smaller spaces that it takes to get better. So I think that, you know, with my willingness and, you know, just my motivation to win within itself, I kind of wear that on my sleeve every day. And I think that's the kind of motivational tool that that spills over into some of my speeches or just things that I try to communicate to my players, because at the end of the day, our overall goal, no matter what, is to win. You know, we'll try to do all the small things and not cut any corners to do so. Like right now, we're in conditioning, and you know, we just want to, you know, take it from a day to day basis. You know, not try to look towards tomorrow, but just focus on the right now. And I just try to always stay in the moment. So I would say that I have I probably have a toolkit, man. I can be different on different days. You know what I mean? I think sometimes you got to be adaptive and flexible with what the day brings.
Okay. By the way, I'm looking at your conference and your sectional right now. Your conference, you may have the most spread out conference I've ever seen. With the teams that are in your guys' conference, going to all the way to Marion and Richmond, and then Lafayette for two, and then Anderson. My goodness. That's a tough conference.
Most definitely. The NCC conference is probably the most competitive conference in the state of Indiana. And I think you already mentioned our sectional. So, I mean, we're blessed at Arsenal Tech to be in the North Central Conference, you know, because if you're in a conference that's so competitive, it can only mold you and prepare you for a rough sectional.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they just did the sectional realignment, and you've got Attucks, Cathedral, Lawrence North, Lawrence Central, North Central, and then Warren Central, obviously. So, but yeah, like you said, if you play the tough teams throughout the season, it kind of builds you up. And as long as, hey, everybody goes 0-0 into sectional time. So it's just who can be gelling the most. Speaking upon that, how does, we're a few months out still, how does the Tech team look this year? Going into this next season?
I think we got a lot of room to grow. You know, with myself being in the coaching role this year, you know, I think our students are trying to adjust to me as our coaches are trying to adjust to the students. So we're just trying to maximize our time as best we can be. I think we have a really good senior class and a good mesh of underclassmen too. So we're just going to try to put this group together. We're going to try to work our tails off in the classroom as well as on the court. We know we have a tough schedule. We know there's a lot of great coaching in Indianapolis and a lot of great players in Indianapolis. So we're going to just try to do our best, you know, to go out there and be competitive every night and just kind of see where the chips fall. But I think we have a pretty good chance I won't say to shock some people, but, you know, I think that it's time for Tech to put itself back on the map.
Very nice. Okay. Very nice. Looking forward to it.
Coach, I got a couple more questions. Coach, kind of coaching in the moment, specific questions, rather. Is there any game that you coached in the past that kind of sticks out as you could, you know what I'm saying, as good or bad, happy or sad, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully it's a good game. Is there any in particular game from a coaching standpoint that is most memorable?
Oh, I've been head coach for 8 years, so I've got a ton of games that stick out. I don't forget any of them. I haven't forgotten any game.
Is any game like you would like to, from a coach standpoint, like coach, I mean, just say it's a loss, so just be honest, okay, that you'd like to take back? It's like, man, if I get that, if we, you know what I'm saying? Is any game that just kind of sticks out in your mind?
I'm gonna try to answer the first question. Just a game that sticks out in particular. Okay. We were playing Northeastern. I was at a head coach at Howe. We were playing Northeastern in the regional championship game tonight. I want to say we were down 10 at halftime. We fought ourselves back in the game late in the fourth quarter to take a 4-point lead. Northeastern ties the game up. So it was kind of an up-and-down game, especially in the second half. So now it's a tie basketball game. Northeastern has the momentum. They have the ball, and they're holding for the last shot. Okay, so they've called a timeout. I think it's 20 seconds left, so they're going to try to get the last shot. So they come out of the huddle. We kind of said we're not going to foul them. We're going to try to hold them for a stop and try to get this game going to overtime. Well, as about 8 seconds got down on the clock, our point guard stole the ball at the top of the key, had a guy streaking out, and the guy, my point guard made a heady play, nice bounce pass to our small forward lays it up literally at the buzzer, and there's a pitcher with the ball leaving his fingertips with 0.1 left on the clock. We literally won the regional championship game like that. So that's one that I definitely will never forget. That sticks out as one of the all-time games I've coached in as a win. Now,
okay,
as a loss,
all of them stick out.
Yeah, you know, all the losses stick out. I mean, you know, as a loss, you know, there's a few games. You know, in Indianapolis, man, you know, this is arguably the breadbasket of the world in terms of basketball, just Indiana. So there's going to be some games where you do some out-coaching, and there's going to be some games you get out-coached. There's going to be some games where your kids compete and give it all out there and still lose, whatever. And that's just kind of the nature of basketball, but more specifically in Indianapolis. But we played a game. When I was head coach at Northwest, my second year there, we made it. We advanced to the city tournament championship game versus Broad River. It was a really good game. And I want to say Broad River shot, they were 28 for 32 from the free throw line in the fourth quarter alone, and we lost the game by three. They made one field goal. So that's one that I wish I could get back, you know, especially in championship rounds. You know, you kind of want to win those championship games.
Okay. So, like, you know, engaging with youth, with young people, besides, you know, teaching, you know, saying the rules and, you know what I'm saying, how to be better basketball players, is there anything else that you communicate with, you know what I'm saying, with, as you're engaging these youth? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure. You know, I think, you know, it's probably tougher now to be a teenager and this time than it's probably ever been, you know. So one thing I try to do is I try to always give them the answers of the test in terms of pitfalls they could face, you know. And, you know, as adults, man, we've made a lot of mistakes. So I don't necessarily talk about specific mistakes, so to speak, unless the situation that needs to be. But, I mean, just in our time with social media and, you know, just being a teenager these days, you know, with all the cameras and, man, there's just so many different ways you can get in trouble. So I just try to, you know, model the behavior that I would like to see from them. You know, I just think, you know, it's important that I, you know, be who I want them to be at the end of the day. And I always try to make myself open for them. You know, I know that may sound a little cliche, but I try to create an environment where, you know, they're not, where they wouldn't be apprehensive to tell me stuff. You know, I try to, I sell myself to them as a big brother figure, you know, and I just try to, you know, discuss those pitfalls out there, you know, things, you know, Indianapolis and certain sides of town or just anywhere in Indianapolis, you know, it can be dangerous, or anywhere in the world these days, it could be dangerous. You know, sometimes it's tough to escape situations, but I think if you are focused on, you know, just a few things in your life, whether that's your family, focused on school, you know, and focused on things such as hobbies like such as basketball, and you keep those things that you're focused on limited, you know, and you give 100% to those things, you can avoid a lot of the pitfalls. So those are discussions that that we have quite often. You know, I don't, I try not to wait for things to happen. I try to be proactive in conversations. And I try to use world events and current events as examples. You know, too many times we have a lot of young kids that are probably not reaching their best potential due to whatever the case may be, not taking things serious or violence or whatever. So I try to use world examples and current events to prove some of the things that I'm saying, you know.
Okay. Well, Coach, like I said, man, you know, we appreciate you coming on. We don't want to take up too much of your time.
Guys, I appreciate the opportunity of being on the show.
Well, dude, you know, any time now. But like outside of basketball, what gains your interest?
My family, man. You know, I try to, you know, me myself being so busy, and especially in the role I'm in right now, I don't try to take. You know, I don't take anything for granted. The smaller things always pique my interest. I really love traveling. I'm at some point my goal is to buy a house in the Caribbean. So when I'm done, when I'm done winning this state championship at Tech, that'll probably be my next move. So
we'll do the show live down there. I promise.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. But I try not to take things for granted, man, and I just appreciate people, and I appreciate the opportunity to do what I do every day at Tech, and I just, you know, try not to take that for granted.
Okay. Well, man, you know, we hope to you know, stop by sometimes when the season kicks off.
Yes.
You know.
Anytime.
Perfect. We'll get out there, get some Tech basketball in. Thanks, Coach, for joining us. That was head coach Mosey Barnes, Arsenal Tech, and director of athletics. Mosey, we'll see you again, my friend. Thanks for coming on, and go Tech.
Guys, my pleasure. And, guys, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
All right, that was Mosey Barnes. John, another great interview, man. We just lining them up and knocking them down.
Hey, man, it's going to be some big things going on at Tech, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you better get your tickets now. They might be sold out here in a couple weeks. Never know.
Never know.
Go out and check out some of that football. Check out the basketball team. John, that conference. Boy, that's the most traveled conference I've ever seen. You're going to Marion? You're going to Lafayette?
You're going to
Richmond? I mean, woo.
Brutal.
Good thing is, man, these boys, tell you what. All right. Let's move on. Let's go back to college football now, just because we haven't had enough college football.
Uh-huh.
Still haven't had enough. I've calmed down from my rant earlier. Let's go to Ball State IU.
We got to talk about Ball State IU.
That's what we're talking. I was next on the list.
Okay.
Ball State IU, we both were there for the game. We were both on the field for the pregame. John, this being your first game going with me, having media credential access, I want to know, and I think the fans would like to know, what your thoughts were leading up to it, what you thought you were going to happen, to what actually happened, and then kind of just walk us through your day with it.
So professionally, man, you can't go in as a fan of the game or a particular program. So that's why I had to look upon it. I had to go in and absorb as much as I could and learn about. Not necessarily about what we're playing on the field, because I kind of know expectations-wise what IU can do, what Ball State can do, and how that's going to look on the field. But kind of learning about, you know what I'm saying, sideline reporting, or learning, you know what I'm saying, from the media booth reporting, and what you can and can't do, and the rules and whatnot, and all that. So it was a great experience. I can't say nothing more than great. You know what I'm saying? If there's anything more than great, look it up. You know, to look up the synonyms are great. That's fill in the blank on that. But so it was a great experience. And, like, you know, not necessarily a lot of pageantry, you know what I'm saying, like you would have if it was, Clemson and Alabama playing on the first game of the year or whatever. But definitely, a lot of feel-good atmosphere, because you have alumni from both institutions, both IU and Ball State, you know what I'm saying, kind of here for, like, a bragging rights kind of game. both teams aren't necessarily going to be in national championship, you know what I'm saying, picture or conversation or some other, you know what I'm saying, mega bowl conversation, you know what I'm saying, with the teams that they have. But they are respectable, you know what I'm saying, teams that turn out, you know what I'm saying, every now and then an NFL guy or one or two or three, you know what I'm saying, every year. And so in that regard, it was good to see, you know what I'm saying, guys, you know what I'm saying, kind of evenly matched, you know what I'm saying. It was kind of, because like I said, when we went on the field, the first thing we kind of seen was, like, IU was a little bit bigger than Ball State.
Oh, yeah.
But Ball State was a little bit faster, you know what I'm saying? And I don't want to undersell that at all, but because, like I said, I think that Ball State, that's kind of what kind of kept them in the game, quite honestly. The game was competitive throughout. We got to see the quarterback from IU, see what kind of potential he might have. He's kind of a dual threat, but his consistency with his arm is kind of going to be up in the air. But guess what? He's got a whole other, I think, two more years of eligibility to figure that out. But he's got some game on him. And like IU, they got to figure out their receivers. But again, that kind of points back to the quarterback and his accuracy. You know, they're not necessarily a bad team at all. They have some good defensive moments. They also have some defensive lapses, but on the other side, Ball State again has some inconsistencies from a defensive standpoint, like lapses, you know. But not to pick apart your notes. Hopefully, you weren't going to talk about Ball State. I don't think they use their tight end at all.
No,
during
not
the
at
game.
All.
And then the standout wide receiver Miller was kind of quiet all day, but then the penalty, Ball State didn't suffer a penalty the whole first half, and then the second half that's all it kind of got, and in the football world, who controls the penalties and who controls the turnovers, that's who usually wins the game, and that's kind of how IU won the game, so. It was great to be in that atmosphere for me first time, and hopefully for another 100,000 times that I get to experience something like that. But it was great, and also I can't even forget to not mention the press conference with the head coach, Coach New from Ball State, and like him explaining and answering questions, some redundant questions from other media. I'm not going to name them, not us, right? But that was a great experience, and I know for some people that's like every day, but for me it was like wow. It's like, dude, I can't say it's bigger than Christmas or bigger than Thanksgiving, but you know what I'm saying, as far as my this year, it's probably my top five of this year experiences that I've went through. To be honest with you, I didn't want to text you and like make you feel all gushy or anything like that. But Brandon, that was a pretty good Saturday of work for us. Where it didn't feel like work at all because we got there about 9:15 and we didn't leave to like a little bit before 5, and it felt like we was only there for 3 hours, and it felt like fun, and it felt good, to be honest with you.
And we'll hopefully be able to do that here in 2 weeks again.
Right. So. But with all that being said, you know, saying, IU is a team that if they come in your house, you can't take them as slouch because they'll beat you. Again, Ball State's another team. They come in your house, they'll beat you. If you take them as a slouch, they'll beat you. So I still expect both those teams to – I kind of changed my stance on IU. I do, as far as, you know what I'm saying, how many games they're going to win. I kind of do change my stance. I know Brandon's like, what? He wants to know what. But
what?
I'm not ready to give you my – I'm not ready to give my IU numbers just yet. Not ready to give my IU numbers just yet. But like I said, those teams are kind of mirror images of one another. And like I said, they played their hearts out. It's kind of sloppy a little bit, but they kind of played their hearts out. And it was a great experience for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the game, talking about the game itself, like you said, the tight ends for Ball State were not used. They had to be used for blocking for the mainly because of the pass rush from IU. I felt like Penick made good plays with him being a redshirt freshman in there. You can tell he had put a little bit too much zip on the ball at times. And, I mean, he had two picks, bad interceptions to Ball State. That hurt the Hoosiers, and it kept Ball State in the ballgame. Second half, Ball State, I mean, they had, 100 yards or something rushing for the entire game, but I mean, we kept looking at their average. It was 2.3 yards, 2 yards a rush every time. You can't do that when you're losing in the second half.
Right.
So the run game wasn't there, but I mean, Huntley, for Ball State, he broke off some tackles, and that kid, he made a name for himself. I said, John, I said, I'm impressed with this Huntley kid and how well he's playing for Ball State. Riley Miller was quiet, as you said, very quiet in the game. When they needed to do dink and dunk passes, that's where Riley Miller was. He was more of that slot guy. But Ball State, and I told you, Ball State never tried to take the roof off the dome. Does that make sense? They didn't try to air it out.
No, they didn't.
And I don't know if that, I don't know if that was because the IU DBs and safeties are a lot more athletic and taller, or they just not is not part of the game plan for Drew Plitt. But yeah, they never tried to do it, and you know, Ball State hung in there as best they could, and I give them credit for that. Ball State really they left points on the board. I mean, you look at it, they lost by 10. They left 6 points on the board at least with a missed field goal, chance where they didn't kick a field goal when they should have. So definitely opportunity, but it's the first game of the year. College football is back. Now, John, I tried to get the audio from my post-game interview onto the computer for it, but I couldn't get it. So I'm going to actually try to play it through the mic of my phone for everybody, and I hope they can hear it. But we'll play here. Hopefully this works out for everybody. If not, it's also posted on the Crossroads Sports Facebook page if you want to see the question for Coach New from Ball State.
Drew's a confident guy. I'm certainly excited that he's our quarterback. Coach, what was the game plan going in this week against Penix? Was it more of the his scrambling or the passing? What were you most likely trying to contain with him?
We give him credit for being a dual threat guy for sure. He's a guy that can make plays with his feet. How much were they going to run him based on the ACL injury a year ago? How many design runs anyway? And you know that obviously your instinct is to take over to QB, and there's going to be times when you pull something down and you take off the scramble. But we knew that, certainly no different than with Stevie Scott, you know, just getting hats to the football, getting population to the football, running and finishing, because we knew it was going to be a physical battle. We know they feel confident about their O-line. We know they feel confident about their running game. And certainly, this was his time to shine. And he made some throws, but I thought our guys certainly did a good job, too, of making some plays on the ball. We felt confident that he was going to give us a chance to make some plays on the ball down the field. And when he did, I thought our guys, certainly the interception by A.J. was spectacular, and the play by Antonio, because that thing was coming hot. And so it was nice for those guys to build on that and to know that, man, that hard work I put in, catching so many balls on the jugs machine, catching so many balls at the end of practice, it was good to see those guys make that available play and present. So
that was Coach New. Very professional. I got a little intimidated when I was asking the question. I mean, it was solid eye contact pretty much the whole time, John, from after the question. But no, it's, you know, as Coach New said in his post game, they're going to get back to Muncie. They're going to work on a few things, get back to work. We're going to watch. Hey, what'd you tell me on the walk out of the stadium? You said, hey, tonight, Coach New, he's going to be put to watching a lot of game film tonight. I guarantee he watched film on Saturday night.
The only thing he was consistently saying that we got to get back to Muncie and look at tape, because evidently he saw something or felt that he saw, you know, simply see something that was off. Again, a very winnable game for Ball State by possession. He did play a gambler's game when he didn't go for the field goal and went for it on fourth down. So I think some of that he kind of owns onto himself, I would imagine. But I think they bounce back against Fordham for sure, and I think they have a really good MAC season going into their MAC play.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think, you know, looking at the defensive side of the ball, I think Coach Elson, who we had on our show earlier this summer, I told you, John, I think he's got to be happy overall with their performance against Indiana. Besides that big 75-yard bomb in the first half, and then the four or five offsides penalties they had in the second quarter of the game. Mm-hmm. Overall, mm-hmm. You've got to be impressed with that defensive unit.
That's what, looking at the tape, things like that. Are we all on the same page? Are we all glued in? Are we all focused? Because penalties, you know, if somebody beats you because they're bigger, faster, stronger, or, you know, saying, or they ran a better scheme, then so be it. But if you got beat on penalties, come on, man. That's a process. that's the process. So I think they bounce back for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking into the weekend, John, you went 5-2 on your picks for Crossroads Sports Pick'em. 5-2. Mm. I went 3-4. Had a rough week, which is funny because for my Crossroads Sports Pick'em, I went 3-4. But in my actual gambling this week, I went 12-4. So I'm gonna have to try to put these together, I guess. But hey, I hope you listeners. I hope you follow the Facebook page. I hope you follow my Twitter account. I hope you're listening to my voice every single day because I've got nothing but winners to give you guys. I want to make you guys some money. Gambling is legal in the state of Indiana officially now.
Gambling,
I want to get
legal.
You to Shelbyville to make your picks. I want to get you down to OTB downtown to make your picks. I made some picks tonight before I went home over OTB. I've already got a couple picks for the weekend that I'm excited for. I want to get these lines. I wanted to get them early. But listen, I got some guys at work that are starting to take the picks because it's winning them some money. And by God, it was a good week one. Now, a week from now, I might be back on this radio saying, guys, it was a bad week. But the goal is to have more good weeks than bad weeks. So, and that's what we're going to go with.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, John, you went 5-2. Congratulations. I went 3-4. You ended up winning last year's pick'em by 2 games. So my goal is to come back. So let's look ahead now for week 2, some of the games we've got. Vanderbilt heading to Purdue. You kind of hinted already that you are going to take the Boilermakers in this game.
Yep.
Are you still sticking with the Boilermakers?
I'm still sticking with the Boilermakers.
Okay. I've got Purdue winning.
They took the foot off the gas. They took the foot off the gas. They won't take the foot off the gas with the Vanderbilt team.
Yeah, I agree with that. I got Purdue winning as well. Fordham traveling to Ball State up to Muncie-Schumann Stadium, the home opener for Ball State. I'm pretty sure we both got Ball State beating Fordham.
Yeah.
Another ball game. We have Eastern Illinois at Indiana, the Indiana Hoosiers. John, who you like in that one?
In a close one. I got the Hoosiers in a close one.
In the Hoosiers. Okay. Notre Dame is idle this week, which almost seems like a crime. The fact that you just played, just started the season, you've already got a bye week. But we have two big games. Last week we had one. We had Auburn and Oregon, which, oh, John, that was one of mine. I could have went 13-3 instead of 12-4 in my picks, and that would have turned a tie because Oregon had the game won. They had the game, and then Bo Mixon, I can't think of the guy's last name, Bo something, threw his Auburn and just lightened it up. Bo Nix, yeah. His dad used to play at Auburn, too. Lit it up. Hell of a plays at the end of the game. Justin Hubert, I think he might be overrated, John. Maybe that's why he came back. He realized that he wasn't going to be all it.
Does Oregon go undefeated in their conference play?
No. I don't think.
They might.
Yeah, they probably will. all right, so we got two matchups this time. Number 12. Texas A&M at number 1 Clemson. Who you liking in this one?
Clemson.
I agree. I'm going Clemson as well with you, but get your pen and papers out, degenerate gamblers. I like Texas A&M +17.5 at Clemson. I like that +17.5. Why? The last 5 games that Jimbo Fisher teams have played against Clemson, they've covered the spread and haven't lost by more than 10 points. That's including his times at Florida State. Anytime they've lost at Clemson, or they played at Clemson, it's been only by 10 points. So you're getting 17.5 here with Texas A&M. Take the 17.5 points. You'll thank me on Monday or Tuesday.
I hope Clemson don't snooze these dudes.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
By
the way, John, side note, I'm going to try to put some credentials in for us to go down to Louisville later on in end of October to see Clemson come to face Louisville.
Okay. Make it happen.
I think that'd be a great game to see. See that number. That way you can get Trevor Lawrence.
They have to bring Patino built.
Uh-oh. And him and Petrino. and then the other matchup, number 6, LSU. At number 10, Texas. By the way, and I've got a lot of Longhorn friends, you guys need to calm down on your home opener, okay?
Uh-oh.
Just because, I've heard too many people say Texas is back, we're back, we're back. Relax. You beat Idaho, right? It was Idaho, wasn't it? They played?
Yeah.
Like come on.
But Brandon, they're better than 10. Brandon, they're better than 10. They're better than 10.
Oh, excuse me. They didn't play. They played Louisiana Tech. So, but come on. You got LSU in the house this time. Who do you got?
You know what? I'm going with Texas.
You're going with Texas? I'm going with LSU on this one.
I think.
Is where
go
Tigers.
This is where they make their claims to jump in the top five. They won't stay in the top five for the whole year, but this is where they take their claim to jump to the top five. They're going to beat LSU.
Okay. In my top 10 rankings, which will be posted up on the Facebook page later this evening, I've got my own top 10 rankings I'm going to put out every single week. There is no change in the top five for me. Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ohio State. My new number six team is Michigan. They are in at number six. Number seven is LSU. I dropped LSU down to number seven, put Michigan ahead of them this week. Notre Dame was ninth. I've moved them up to eighth. Ninth now I have is Texas. Excuse me, Texas. They were 10th, so Texas is the new ninth team. The team that has fallen back two spots for me into the 10th spot was the Florida Gators. I don't think Florida Gators are that good. I really don't. And I think the polls are going to show it here shortly. Felipe Franks is a bad, bad, bad quarterback. And I don't know why people don't see it. I'm full of hot takes tonight.
You are, man. Florida's not a bad team.
I'm not saying they're a bad team. John,
they look bad. They're not a bad team though.
No, but they looked really bad against Miami. And Felipe Franks threw maybe the worst interception I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen a lot of bad interceptions.
You ain't like Miami's a chump.
I mean, I ain't gonna go there. I don't want to get them on my case right now.
After Michael Irvin came out there and hyped up, man. You act, dude. We would come to your house.
And you still can't win?
Well, everybody ain't got the skills of the playmaker.
I've got Texas fan base on me now, probably. I've got Nebraska on me. I've got, who else we got on me? Tennessee's fan base ain't happy.
Go ahead, get Kansas and Indiana State on us, too. That was a horrible game.
Hey, the Fighting Trees hung in there.
They hung in there.
Still trying to get on with Coach from that one. So I got a lot of people that are on the horn right now. Florida State's not a fan of me, so I mean, we're doing what we can, and I'm just excited college football is back, and we're gonna have a great time with it. So, John, a couple quick hitters now are. And I kind of almost want to wait until our next guest joins us here.
I got a basketball take,
and I don't know if I should say it now or just. And then if he joins, he joins. Or what?
He'll love to talk about it. I guarantee you.
Okay, I'll save it then. But let's talk a little NFL real quick. Indianapolis Colts, they've re-signed Jacoby Brissett, their new starting quarterback, 2 years, $30 million. They are invested in Jacoby Brissett. They've also went out and signed Brian Hoyer to a 3-year deal. So you have Brissett, Hoyer, and then maybe Swag Kelly still?
No, Swag Kelly won't be with us. Not even on the practice squad. I don't believe. I think another team kind of scoops him up. I do.
I told you these NFL owners got money, Brandon, for quarterbacks, sounds like. Or they got money, period, for players, man. Hoyer got $9 million.
Amen.
I immediately ran out to my house. I really ran out to my front yard and started throwing the pigskin. I did. I just didn't tape it. I wanted to. But, no, man, they are invested in Jacoby Brissett.
I can't be happier for him. It kind of tells you the tale of the tape when it comes as it pertains to like what other quarterbacks are going to get or ask for, as Dak Prescott, as we know, turned down a $30 million contract. Jacoby Brissett accepted a $15 million contract. And if anybody listened to any of the episodes, I mean, when you were talking about like what Dak could get, I was thinking that Dak should get a $17 million contract. He should be living in that world. Where clearly, Brandon, I was wrong. It's the first time this year that's happened, that I've been wrong.
Uh-oh. I'm going to chop that sound bite.
In all seriousness, man, like the asking price, if Jacoby Brissett, a backup, can get $15 million a year, then surely Dak Prescott and his agent, they're going to ask for $28, $30 million, $34, $35 million a year. Clearly. So, again, like I said, but from a coach standpoint, it does kind of solidify, you know what I'm saying, Jacoby as the starter. We're all in with Jacoby Brissett as a Colts fan. You are. And if Hoyer has to come out there, then we'll be looking at drafting Trevor Lawrence.
Ooh.
For sure.
Ooh, ouch. Zeke Elliott, on again, off again, on again, off again. Zeke Elliott back, flew into Dallas today. New contract could be signed as early as tomorrow, they're saying. Eight-year deal. 8 years.
8 years. 8 years? Wow.
8 years deal.
Unprecedented. For a running back, that's unprecedented. Has to.
Yeah. For Zeke Elliott, it's been rumored. We'll see if it stays there. So, but yeah, Zeke, 8 years possibly, signed tomorrow, reported by Adam Schefter. We'll see if the actual details get worked out. Or if his butt ends up going back to Cabo. So
yeah.
Let's see. We got a caller now. Let's see. Crossroads Sports Radio, who we got?
Reggie Sykes.
Reggie, my man, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing today?
Good, my man. Now, I've saved a basketball hot take for you because Jonathan told me I need to save one for
hold
you.
Hold on, Brandon. I wanted to, like, listen, man. I didn't want to. Brandon, I mean, Reggie's actually a guest. He's, you know, not necessarily a normal, just like a normal roundabout caller. Reggie actually is a guest host. I mean, he's actually the host of Target of the Sports Spot. I'll let him talk about that a little bit. But yes, man, this is the king of trolls, Reggie Sykes, good friend of mine, good tavern buddy of mine. I'm glad he agreed to come on the show. I hope he don't try to take it over. But
I know, right?
I understand my place in the pecking order and everything, and I think you guys are really doing great. Since Jonathan has introduced me to y'all, I've checked out a few segments of y'all shows. I think you guys are really doing great things, you know. As you said, we do a little sports podcast called The Sports Spot, and I'm known as the King Troll because I tend to troll people who are like hoppers, you know, people who had a different team before LeBron James went to the Cavs, people who followed him to the Heat, people who came back to him in the Cavs, people who went him in L.A. and think that they won three trophies in L.A. and he wasn't even in L.A., you know? So I tend to troll pretty heavy those basketball fans. I'm a Pacers fan. I'm a homer. I'm a Pacers fan, and I'm a Colts fan, and I pretty much hate the Steelers, New England, Cowboys.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. John, now you didn't tell me he hates the Steelers. My goodness.
Yeah.
Brandon.
Hey,
Brandon, you would be surprised.
I just left out of Penn Station. I was talking to a guy in there, and he's a Cleveland Browns fan. And he thought I was going to give him a hard time. But I could actually see your Steelers finishing in second and third place because the Cleveland Browns are fully stocked team this year. I mean, their defense is good. They have wide receivers, running back. I could see them making a little bit of noise this year. I'm buying into the hype.
Yeah, what about their coach? You got to have a coach.
I think the coach is going to be okay. I think the coach is going to be okay. You know, I'm willing to give him a chance. It's like I'm willing to give J.B. Brissett a chance. I mean, I'm not a Cleveland fan by no way means whatsoever, but I just really think this is their time. I think the Steelers have lost a lot in losing Bell and A.B., and I think the little Twitter beef they got going on may, you know, cause unnecessary publicity to the Steelers and the Raiders.
Yeah. I'm going to enjoy this season, the fact that all the drama's done. It's over with. The last couple of years, that's all we've dealt with as Steeler fans, is the drama with AB and Bell and who said this, who didn't say this, who showed up, who didn't show up, are they going to show up?
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how we finish this year, it's just going to be a relaxing year. The fact that, hey, you know what, people aren't pegging us to be one of the top teams. Whatever happens, happens. At least it's not drama. And let's just see what these kids can do. We're giving some young kids a shot. There was running backs before it, Le'Veon Bell. There was receivers before Antonio Brown. I think we'll be okay. Like I said, I still think we go 10-6. And I've got the Browns either at 10-6 themselves or 9-7. So, I got to run them both 1-2 right there in the AFC North.
What do you think the Ravens are going to do? I think this is going to be a down year for them.
Yeah, I've got them. I think I have them at 7-9 on my record this year. So, Lamar, I think he makes a step forward, but with them having losing some of their key defensive guys this year, I've got them at 7-9, and then obviously the bottom dweller will be the Bengals.
Okay. I can agree with you on that, but I'm just ready for some football. Don't y'all play
Amen.
New England in the very first game of the season?
They do. They travel at Foxborough. That's going to be a house of horrors up out there.
Well, you know what? I actually hate New England more than I hate the Steelers.
Well, there you go. You're back on my good side.
5% of me is going to cheer for you, and the other 95% of me is going to hope it ends in the top.
Hey, Reggie, what was your thoughts on the way the Andrew Luck situation was handled?
You know what? I don't believe it's a conspiracy theory or nothing like that, because when you think about it, the NBA is making billions off of TV contracts and off of merchandising. You know, they don't even care if the stadium is full nowadays, because they're making so much money off the advertising, the TV and everything. And I don't believe that the GM would go along with a plan to hold Luck back to sell tickets to sell out of the stadium. I just don't believe it. I just think Luck got tired of rehabbing. He's a married man now. He has a kid on the way, or has a kid here. And his head just wasn't in the game. Now, I wouldn't write of him coming back. I wouldn't write that off, because sometimes you just need to take some time. Sometimes I need to take time off of my job, you know, and concentrate on what's more important. I really think he's just tired of rehabbing, you know, rehabbing. And I blame Grinson for letting Luck get beat up, because he did not do a good job drafting offensive linemen. And that's why I blame.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But okay, yes, sir.
Reg, who's got tonight? All seriousness, take your fandom aside. Who's got the best?
Okay.
Who's got the best chance of beating the throne in New England?
The best chance of the throne in New England. I like Kansas
going into the
City. I like Kansas City. I really do like Kansas City. Do they got to play a home game, though? It would help. New England's tough for New England, boy. And it would really help if Kansas City could do that. And you know what, though? I would really have faith in San Diego if Gordon was in the training camp and Gordon was playing. You know,
Reggie, we about to argue now, man. There's no way you can have any faith in Phillip Rivers other than to having some kids. You cannot have no faith in Phillip Rivers winning no big football games. That man can't win no big football games. Now, you talk about, you know,
well,
being a father, having 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 kids in 2019, sure. But winning a football game, nah.
Come on now. He's already disrespecting the fan base. He's already disrespecting him. He called him San Diego.
Who, the San Diego Chargers?
I meant LA Chargers.
I give John that crap all the time.
It's all in California. They all the same people. They jump from team to team. If the Rams good, they with the Rams. If the Raiders good, they with the Raiders. They all the same fan base. But you know what? I will tell you, I told you the AFC side. I really think that the Saints, and I hate the Saints because I went to school at Southern University. The only reason I give Steelers a little bit of credit because they had the great Mel Blount, a Hall of Famer from Southern University.
Uh-oh.
But I really think that the Saints, and I call them the Aints because I got a lot of buddies from down there, and they get mad when I call them the Aints. But New Orleans, boy, I mean, they got some points to prove. They still mad about last year. They got to make some noise.
They got a tough one, home opener. They got Minnesota home opener. So that's a tough one.
And they'll get past them.
So I know I talked a lot, JB, and, you know, I apologize. But I just got a couple of questions for y'all. Do y'all really have faith in Kirk Cousins? Do you really have faith in Kirk Cousins? I mean,
hell
really?
No. With a capital H. Hell no. I've got a friend that's a Vikings friend, and
I had to think about it. I had to think about it. No, I don't.
That's a quick answer, John. I don't know why you had to think about it.
He's a capable quarterback. He can get you. He's good for 7 wins. He's good.
And you want
wins.
Him here in Indy? Would you take him here in Indy?
Not right. No.
No.
That's your answer then. That's your answer. You don't need him.
I think the reason Minnesota have faith in him. He played his butt off when he was playing for the contract in Washington. He had a point to prove. Is he still going to be motivated? Last year, he was mediocre to me last year. And I don't know if it was offensive line or what. I really didn't get a good read on it. But I'm not really sold on Minnesota being one of the top teams. And I could be wrong.
Okay. Red,
I don't even think they're the best. I don't even think they're the third best team in the division.
In that division?
I agree.
You saying Detroit is better than them?
They could be.
They're tied. But I think Green Bay and the Bears are going to be better than them for sure, though.
Oh, yeah.
I got the Bears winning the division. I know me and Reggie got –
Homer.
Brandon, me and Reggie got – we got a lot of Bears buddies. We like to talk a lot of crap about Bears, about what the Bears used to do in 1985 and whatnot. But, no, in all seriousness, I got the Bears actually going 13-3 this year, for real.
Mm.
Wow, that's a hell of a record for 13-3. Wow.
Yeah.
They were 12-4 last year. 12-4 last year.
Yeah.
Everybody comes back.
But
what's that kicker going to do?
They're not going to let it come down to the kicker. It might have to come down to the quarterback. But it ain't going to come down to the kicker.
You got to think teams scheme for players the following year. Is Mahomes really going to have a good year? Because teams are going to be scheming for him. Teams are going to be scheming for Mac.
Yeah.
Mac had a great year. If it wasn't for Mac, the Bears wouldn't have the year they had.
Reggie, Patrick Mahomes is magic. That dude's in the Hall of Fame already.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Mahomes is special. I think he's a
special player. Right?
I think they can scheme for him still, but the kid's going to find ways. He's just one of those naturally great athletes like LeBron James, where you can scheme for LeBron James, but the dude's still going to get his no matter what out there.
Yeah.
We talk about the Bears. John, I have the part I have the problem with the Bears is you just got rid of Jordan Howard, who was supposed to be your thunder to your lightning, Tyreek Cohen. Now, yeah, you had a real nice little shiny new trophy coming in there, David Montgomery, who's going to be a hell of a ball carrier for the Bears. But I'm still looking at that receiving corp, and I'm trying to figure out where these passes are going to go. They all can't go to Trey Burton at tight end.
Like I said, it's going to come down to the quarterback. Can he turn some of these dudes into A-level dudes or look like A-level dudes on certain games?
You know what? I will admit I was wrong last year. I did not think their quarterback was going to be as good as he was. You know, I was making jokes about the Bears. Y'all moved up one spot to take him? I was really the king of trolls back then, you know. But, I can eat my words. He proved me wrong. He may be turning out to be a pretty decent quarterback.
Hold on, John. I got to do my hot take before I forget about it. Reggie, is there a way, and John, you'll probably go, oh, no, is what you'll say. That'd be your response. Reggie, is there a way that we can go and we just cancel this whole FIBA World Cup basketball thing? Because it's embarrassing when you beat Turkey by 1 point in overtime. Just cancel the whole thing. You got too many scrubs on this team.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I think it's good exercise for Miles Turner because I want him to get stronger.
Oof.
I think Sabonis needs to get stronger. You know, okay, I'm going to take my fandom out of it. Even with all the great players that turned down to play for them, we shouldn't be struggling with Turkey. We shouldn't be struggling with Turkey.
No,
you know, I don't know if it's time to change the coaching or change the criteria of how we're picking the players. If the number one player is going to turn it down, we got to figure something out because the rest of the world is starting to catch up with the United States in basketball, and that's just a point blank fact.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I agree. I was in a work meeting this morning, and I was getting ready to talk, and that came up in this alert that it was going to overtime. And I said, what? They're going to overtime?
With Turkey.
And if Jason Tatum hadn't hit those two free throws with I don't know how much time was on the clock, they would have lost the game. They would have lost the game.
Reggie, I got to get you back on during the Pacer season because I think me and you go round and round with Miles Turner conversations.
That sounds good. Anytime you need me, and I'm gonna try to get y'all on our sports show too, man. Because I think y'all doing great things, and I think it would be a great crossover. I'm gonna talk to our producer Tom Slick about that and everything, and we would love to get y'all when we were doing our show on Sundays, but we want to move it to a different day so we can talk football afterwards. So I think we're gonna start doing Wednesdays or either Mondays, and I'll give Jonathan the information because we would love to have y'all come out to Tom Slick Studios and show up and just. So advertise your show. I think y'all doing great things. And, you know, just anytime you want to talk to me or have me troll somebody that's getting on your nerves, tag me on Facebook, and I'll troll the hell out of them.
I love it. I love it.
I appreciate
we appreciate you having on, Reg, man. Like I said, everybody go check out. If you can't find it on YouTube, they have shows already loaded up on YouTube, Sports Spot. It is entertaining. It's a little bit different than what we do. They do talk a little political. They do talk about a lot of different things on Sports Spot.
Yeah.
I appreciate their show 100%. I watch it every time. Brett, go ahead.
I think we find our niche now. I like when we have responses from the people typing in asking questions. We'll start a subject, and then we're starting to have people respond and ask us what we think, and we can see the questions pop up on the screen. You know, everybody has a format where they talk to sports and, you know, top five plays of the day and rumor mill and all that. But I like this format better when we have actual participation from the audience. And I think that's a great thing to do. Hey, I go to 23 of the Pacer games every year. So if y'all had some games, hey, let's take a picture and we post it on both of each other's websites.
Perfect.
Bet.
Done
sounds
deal.
Sounds like a good deal. Thanks, Reg, for calling man. Anytime you want to come call, man, just call us, bro.
Yes, sir. Y'all only on Tuesdays or y'all 3 days a week?
We go back and forth on different days. Depends what our real jobs allow us for.
I work nights too, so I understand. I'm actually getting ready to go in. I'm sitting in the corner parking lot getting ready to go in now. But
Reg,
Jonathan,
what's that golf game looking like? Before I let you go, man,
It's getting better. It's getting better. You know, I've only been playing 2 years, but I'm happy with I'm starting to get my slice figured out. Starting to hit my three about 185 yards, so I'm starting to put it together. Now I need to start working on my chipping game. That's what's really holding me back now is my chipping game.
Hey, I've played for 15 years, and I'm still trying to work on my chipping game.
Hey, Jonathan, make sure he sends me a friend request on Facebook so I can and Twitter and everything so I can follow y'all and everything and he can see how people troll me and how I troll people. I think he'll get a laugh out of that.
Brandon, you ain't seen dude.
I can't wait. Hey, I just sent Jonathan a text. All it was three fire emojis. So I love it. So I'm in.
All right, y'all have a great day, fellas.
All right, thanks, Reggie. Wow. John,
Reggie
Sykes is the man. Fire emojis is what I sent you. I feel like we could have some good crossover content.
Absolutely.
I love the trolling. Listen, if I could have dived more into Miles Turner with him, I would have. But, John, I want to hear your side now. I heard Reggie's side of it. Turkey, man. Turkey? A one-point overtime win over Turkey? Get these scrubs out of here.
I don't understand how even the third stringers can't be blowing out a team like Turkey. I don't understand. I don't. I understand there's different rules internationally. The lane is a little bit different or whatever, and you can go 10 or whatever. You know what I'm saying? There's a little bit different rules. But, like, defensively, Turkey shouldn't be anywhere near in the room with that particular team that we have out there. It's gonna be gritty. It's going to be for him to gut out wins. It is.
I'm looking right now. Give me 1 second. This is intriguing radio because I want to see a box score because you know exactly where I'm going to go with this box score. Give me 1 second.
You thinking in dream team terms, man. That's not the dream team, remember? That's not – I mean, I'm not trying to give them an excuse. I just said they were third stringers.
Miles Turner. 11 points, 9 rebounds. You can't even get a double-double against Turkey?
You want 22-9. That's what you want. Or 22-18.
Jason Tatum, 11-11. I mean
– Yeah.
Here's my thing. They're passing the ball around way too much. Does that make sense? Joe Harris with 11 points. We don't need Joe Harris with 11 points. I'm sorry. Marcus Smart.
You would take Joe Harris as a pacer for 11 points. Go ahead.
I would. I don't know what happened to Jaylen Brown. What he do to get in the doghouse? Jaylen Brown had 1 point. This guy is a solid NBA player. He only got 1 point against Turkey.
Some of that.
I'm concerned.
I know where you're going with you, Brandon. You're concerned because, like, 1 point out of Jaylen Brown means, like, dude, you're not engaged. You're just out here because you're just out here. There's no way Jaylen Brown should have 1 point. He's too good of a basketball player. I'm with you on that.
Shooting 78% for a team from free throws. They shot 60. Three-pointers, you shot 39 of them, and you made 14, so that's 35%. You know, your assists were up, your steals were up. Turnovers, I mean, 0-1. I mean, it was a pretty even game, but this one will be happening with Carmelo Anthony in there.
Stop. Next. It would be happening.
Hey, how about
MVP? MVP is the big three.
Yeah, how about Joe Johnson working out with the Nets coming up, as well as Carmelo? They want Carmelo on that team.
Wouldn't that be an interesting story if Joe Johnson could go from big three MVP and champion back to an NBA roster? If anybody can, I mean, obviously the championship game was this past weekend. And Joe Johnson's team won. I challenge anybody, you know what I'm saying, if you're a basketball head, go look at it, man, because this dude was like instant money. But again, you know, the big three is like half court, it's not full court. So, but Joe Johnson's like automatic in big three play. Automatic.
Did you see any of the trophy ceremony?
No, I missed that part though.
So it was hilarious. Ice Cube's trying to talk, and the microphone kept going out, so, like, nobody in the arena could hear it, and we couldn't hear him. And he kept getting pissed. They kept switching the microphones, and they took some of the stuff off the microphone, and then they put Michael Rappaport put another microphone in front of his mouth as he was already holding one. He looked at Rappaport and goes, "Rap, get the microphone out of my face." I was waiting for him just to – he's like, "I'm tired of it. We're getting this over with." He goes, "Get this microphone out of my face now." So – oh, shoot. What else do we got? We talked about Zeke. We talked about the Colts. We talked about my gambling. We talked
man,
about
it's pretty, Team it's US. Pretty, it's pretty awesome show, man. It's a pretty awesome show, if I do say so myself.
Yeah. Well, good job putting it together, John.
Action-packed.
Yeah, absolutely. Not sure on a crossover show this week, people, but we will get another crossover at some point. Never say never. We'll see what the week looks like. Show next week. And then hopefully next Saturday we'll be coming from you live again I'm waiting just for confirmation from my schedule, which I should know. I should know in 2 days if next Saturday is in the cards to head up to West Lafayette for Purdue and TCU. If so, all myself right. and John will both be live there. And it's a night game, so we have all afternoon to get rowdy, to get some sound clips, sound bites from people, fans and stuff. We don't have, but yeah, it should be a great time. I'm excited. But yeah, tonight was a good show. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Please subscribe, like, share on Facebook. Tell us what you liked, what you didn't like, what we should have talked about so we can put on the next show. And, no, we thank everybody for joining us tonight, our special guests. We had Mosey Barnes, and we got Reggie Sykes as well joining us
King
tonight.
King of Trolls.
King of Trolls. So it was great. So, John, I'll let you kind of give your last 2 cents, and then we'll wrap it up.
Oh, man, my last 2 cents as always, man. Everybody, thanks for listening.
Crossroads Sports.